worship of the transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So ordinarily we do word by word and then we do each line like that, but you know, we're still starting the greeting at 7:15, even though class is still supposed to end at 8:30. So, you know, we have to tighten up somewhere, otherwise we have practically no time to speak. So I'm just going to do line by line and skip the word by word. Narayane Bhagavati Tadidang Visham Ahitam Grihita Mayaroguna Sarga Dhavagunak Swataha Narayane Bhagavati Tad Idang Visham Ahitam Grihita Mayaroguna Sarga Dhavagunak Swataha Narayane Bhagavati Tad Idang Visham Ahitam Grihita Mayaroguna Sarga Dhavagunak Swataha. Please sit. Narayane Bhagavati Tadbi Idang Vishamahitam Narayane Bhagavati Tadidang Vishamahitam Vihitamayoroguna Vaishnavins. Okay, synonyms, Narayane, unto Narayana, Bhagavati, the personality of Godhead, Tat Idam, all these material manifestations, Vishvam, all the universes, Ahitam, situated, Grihita, having accepted, Maya, material energies, Uru Gunaha, greatly powerful, Sarga Adao, in creation, maintenance, and destruction, Ugunaha, without affinity for the material modes, Swataha, self-sufficiently. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. All the material manifestations of the universes are therefore situated in his powerful material energies, which he accepts self-sufficiently, although he is eternally without affinity for the material modes. Please repeat. All the material manifestations of the universes are therefore situated in his powerful material energies, which he accepts self-sufficiently, although he is eternally without affinity for the material modes. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The question put by Narada before Brahma concerning the sustenance of the material creation is thus answered. Material actions and reactions, as the material scientist can superficially observe, are not basically ultimate truth in regard to creation, maintenance, and destruction. The material energy is a potency of the Lord which is displayed in time, accepting the three qualities of goodness, passion, and ignorance in the forms of Vishnu, Brahma, and Shiva. The material energy thus works under the supreme spell of his lordship, although he is always transcendental to all such material activities. A rich man constructs a big house by spending his energy in the shape of resources, and similarly he destroys a big house by his resources, but the maintenance is always under his personal care. The Lord is the richest of the rich because he is always fully complete in six opulences. Therefore, he is not required to do anything personally, but everything in the material world is carried out by his wishes and direction. Therefore, the entire material manifestation is situated in Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Truth is due to lack of knowledge only. And this fact is clearly explained by Brahmaji, who is supposed to be the creator of the universal affairs. Brahmaji is the highest authority in Vedic wisdom, and his assertion in this connection is therefore the supreme information. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacadeshtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Agyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyaham Shri Guru Shri Yatapada Kamalam Shri Guru and Vaishavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vatangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Lord Brahma is speaking, and for us this is very special because we are members of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. As Srila Prabhupada says in the end of his purport, he is the highest, he's the pinnacle of Vedic wisdom. So whatever Brahma says, we accept. Our path of gaining knowledge is the Avaroha Panta. Panta means path. Aroha means climbing or going up, 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 up. So this is the materialistic way of getting knowledge. I want to figure it out myself. But that doesn't get you very far. And definitely not when you're approaching transcendence. You cannot figure out transcendence on your own. Later on in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th chapter, nice words, you may have heard me repeat several times. This is Lord Krishna speaking. He's giving instruction. He's describing in that chapter the symptoms of conditioned and liberated souls. So he says, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato, Nishnaya Pareyadi, Shamastasya, Shamapalo, Hiyadenum, Iva Rakshata. So he says, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato, you can become so intelligent. And as we heard, Subhas was reading how Lord Chaitanya challenged the Digvijaya Pandit, and he remembered all the verses that he, you know, so to, you have to have that kind of capacity to be able to understand the Vedic literatures by reading. You have to know Sanskrit and the nuances and this and what it means. So you can go through all that, become a Digvijaya Pandit like that person. But he was ignoring the personality of God who was right in front of him. He was fixed on himself, thinking that he was such a great pandit. So Krishna is saying in this verse, Shabda Brahmani Nishnato, you may study the Shabda Brahman, you can be study the Vedas for lifetimes and become so expert and describing the grammar and everything. But Nanishnaya Pare Yadi. Pare means supreme. Now some Sanskrit grammarians may argue that Pare actually means supreme. It doesn't necessarily mean supreme person. But our Acharya, this Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur, he says, no, it means the Supreme Person, because later on in that discussion, Krishna establishes himself as the Supreme Person, and he's the one who's speaking the verse. So when he says Pare, he's referring to himself as a Supreme Being, not just Brahman. You see? A Sanskrit scholar would say, oh, you guys are just putting things that are not there. Just like they criticize sometimes Prabhupada's translation of some Bhagavad Gita verses. Because it doesn't necessarily say, you know, Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna, but Prabhupada says that. Because he's establishing that the ultimate reality, ultimate source of everything is the Supreme Person, not some impersonal manifestation. The Western scientists, modern scientists, even though they may not consider themselves to be impersonalists in the classic sense of the impersonalists coming out of India, but they are, because they think that ultimately everything comes from some impersonal manifestation, matter. So that's impersonalism. You think that some material elements combine and create what we call a person. But they don't, because they're not thinking spiritually, then they don't give any spiritual importance to that. And they think that this current manifestation, combination of elements, is everything. And when it's finished, it's finished. So they don't care about the repercussions, ultimate repercussions, even to their material activities in terms of maintaining this planet. The reason why they're gobbling up the resources like anything, they don't really care. They figure, you know, we'll live happily in this life. Then who cares what happens down the road? You know, who knows? A comet could hit the planet and it could all explode. But we know that's not the case. Yes, comet may hit the planet, but the life is not something that's created and it cannot be destroyed. So life will go on, and you have to plan like that. Your life will go on. So Krishna says, Shabda Brahma Nanishtaya. If you don't accept the Supreme, no matter how intelligent you are, Shamastasya Shamapalam. It's like working very hard and not getting any fruit. Pala means fruit. You're working very hard. Who wants to do that? Work very hard and not get any result to show for it. He adenum eva rakshata. Krishna says, it's like nicely maintaining a cow and not getting any milk. Adenum. Denum means cow, and generally cow means going to eat and going to give you milk. So if the cow simply eats, and you make all nice arrangements for the cow to eat, and you don't get any milk, it's like, you know, wasted effort. So yesterday, actually, Brigapati called me because he didn't remember clearly where Prabhupada ended in the Bhagavata. So Prabhupada translated up to the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. Now, when we point that out, it's not to say that the rest of it that was translated and commented on by his disciples is not useful. We're not saying that. But just for clarification's sake, we should know. Why should we not know? Why should we muddy the line? So in their commentary means most of the translation work was done by Gopi Puranadana Prabhu, and most of the commentary was done by Rinanandas Goswami. And Dravida did the English entity. So in their commentary on that verse, 11:11:18, I think it is, they point out nicely that it takes a lot of effort to maintain a cow. You have to have a pasture, you have to fodder, and you can't just throw the cow in any pasture, because if you don't maintain the pasture itself, poisonous weeds can grow up, and the cows can eat that, and they can get sick. And beyond that, if you're a real, cow protector, you're going to examine the cow practically every day and remove any bugs and comb her nicely. And it's very, very labor intensive to properly maintain cows. What to speak of, that's just one cow. If you have like hundreds of cows or thousands of cows, very, very labor intensive. So to do that and not get anything out of it, maybe out of the goodness of your heart, you're a sweet person, but generally speaking, nobody's going to do that. It's so labor intensive. We know that our farm in Gitanagari in Pennsylvania, when Prabhupada was here, he was very, very proud of that farm. He would say, the neighboring farmers are so amazed at how our cows give so much milk. And he said, you know why? Because they know they will not be killed. So they're very happy. And they give so much milk. But over time, it became a burden. It became a burden to maintain that farm and maintain that herd of cows nicely. So, anyway, we won't go into the details, but it's very, 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 very labor intensive. So I've always said, and you've heard me say many times, that if you want to maintain farms, preach to farmers and make them into devotees. They already know what to do. They've been doing it their whole lives. If you take city people like us and put us on a farm, maybe we'll last a year or two, 3 years maximum, and we go running away. can't take it. It's just too intense, and you're not, you know, you're not, your body's not built for that. Your mind is not into it, so you can't fake it. You can't fake it. You have to really be into it. So Lord Brahma is pointing out here that Krishna is the source of everything, and his energies, as is stated in that famous verse, Natasya Karyam Karanam Chabidite, Natachamas Charya Bikashadishite, Parashi Shakti Vividaya Shriyate, Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. That Krishna's energies are just doing everything automatically. It's not like Krishna has to make a to-do list every day. All right, today I have to create this universe and do this and correct that problem. No. He's conscious of everything, and whatever needs to be done is done automatically. So he himself can remain in Goloka Vrindavan having fun. He's not breaking out a sweat every day trying to figure out what to do. And meanwhile, by his energies, he's spread everywhere. So, and it's what we take to be impersonal is actually not. Just like the scientists, they will tell you, what you take to be a solid table is not. There are atoms in there, and within the atom there is nucleus and a proton, and all that goes down, 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 down. And they keep drilling down and spending so much money, wasting so much money for these, you know, accelerators to smash atoms and see what comes out. It's just such a waste of money, human money and energy, human energy and money that could be better spent spreading the Sankirtan movement that will give tangible results. Not just, we're not selling, because sometimes people think we're selling, you know, pie in the sky, that after you die, you know, you will get some reward. And no, we see that if people live this Krishna conscious lifestyle, you're rewarded immediately with good health, sanity, you know, and interaction improves so much. People are so freaked out nowadays. It's just amazing how they, and we see the result. Just a few days ago, two brothers, they shot up the family, killed four family members, and then killed themselves. Why would people do that? Because they're insane. They don't understand. People, the government leaders don't understand. The parents don't understand. The people in general don't understand that. We have six enemies in material life. Lust, anger, greed, envy, illusion, and madness. Madness is one of the enemies of the conditioned soul. And if you don't take to proper life, spiritual life, as Lord Brahma is enunciating, then you actually gradually become mad. Lust, unsatiated, leads to anger, greed, envy, and therefore people just, like, they're mad, they're crazy. There's one young man who hangs around this community. I think we got a restraining order against him. Like 3 o'clock, a couple of nights ago, 3 o'clock in the morning, he was just standing on the corner yelling and making a disturbance. Crazy guy. So, and it gets worse. I mean, I've been living in that apartment for 27 years. And it gets worse year after year after year. It's not getting better because the government leaders don't know what to do. The head of the government is meant to be guided by brahmanas, persons who know what to do, who know the scriptures, who are coming in line from, the, as Prabhupada says, the perfect knower of Vedic knowledge is Lord Brahma. And we are coming in this line. So we're meant to have this knowledge and pass it on, particularly to the leaders of society, so they can lead properly. But they don't want to hear it. They may, you know, make a show sometimes, like many of the current or former presidents that we've had, Obama and Clinton and all this, practically all of them have gotten Bhagavad Gita. Either on the street, some devotee approached them and gave them, or there was a function at the White House and somebody gave them. So they practically all of them have Bhagavad Gita, as it is. But do they read it, and do they try to apply the principles in their own lives and to spread it? No, they're still just caught up in the political ism. You know, I am a Democrat, you're a Republican, so we have to fight each other. They can never even get together and do something good materially for the country. If one party proposes something, then the other party automatically opposes it. You propose, I oppose. And this is what passes for political leadership nowadays. Not just here in America, all around the world practically. They can't even get together to do what's right materially. Because ultimately, if you don't have proper spiritual vision, you can't have material solutions. There are no material solutions to material problems. Ultimately, only spiritual solutions. And those spiritual solutions we get in our sampradaya. We don't speculate about it. That's another thing. Some people take the spiritual life and they think it's an open field. You can just, whatever you want, take a little over here, a little over there, put it together, make your own package. Even within ISKCON, we have people who get to the point, I just saw on Facebook, not to pick on anybody recently, somebody was saying that, I'm not preaching anymore. Because this preaching doesn't work. I'm just going to live my life, and you know, if somebody wants to follow my example. No, Prabhupada said preach. Preach means you hear from the right source and you repeat what you've heard. That's all. It's not like you're beating anybody over the head. You hear something, apply it in your own life. You see that it works. It makes you happy. It makes you progressive. And therefore, you naturally want to pass it on. Naturally want to pass it on. And if we do that, then people out there are attracted. Just like I just got an email yesterday from a professor with your college, Professor Hashmir Fan. Very nice lady, born in a Muslim family and still considers herself a Muslim. But she loves our presentation. So ordinarily, when there's no pandemic, we would go to Whittier College and make a little festival. She calls it her Eat, Love, Pray Festival. Bring prasadam, give them the chanting, give them the philosophy. She's really into it. But since we can't go there, so now we're going to do it virtually. So on, not this Friday, but next Friday online, we'll do our Eat, Love, Pray Festival online. So those who are a little intelligent, a little fortunate, like these teachers who invite us regularly, they're doing great service by allowing the Hare Krishnas to come into their classroom and give this knowledge to the students. That's great service, even if they themselves never become devotees or even pick up a bead bag and chant. Just by giving us the opportunity to come in there and inject real knowledge. We're not putting in propaganda, you know, that we're going to benefit from down the road, become devotees, and every time I make a devotee, I get $10. No. We're going in there to give them real knowledge that we've heard from Lord Brahma in the cyclic succession coming down to Srila Prabhupada. So this is our sacred duty to hear clearly this philosophy, to apply it in our lives, and pass it on without changing it. And then whatever happens is not up to us. Again, sometimes even the devotees get discouraged that we've distributed so many millions of books and it doesn't seem to have any effect. Because this is a lifetime after lifetime thing. The person, like this professor, like I said, she may never become a devotee in this lifetime. But because she's given so much opportunity, you guarantee she's going to take a nice birth. She's heard the chanting. She's honored so much prasadam. She's given so many students the opportunity to do the same. She's going to take a nice birth. If she doesn't go back to Godhead at the end of this life, she's coming back in a nice situation. And that's what we're doing. We're planting seeds. We're helping Lord Chaitanya as the Supreme Gardener to plant seeds in all the hearts of these conditioned souls that we come in contact with. And those seeds will fructify, even if not in our lifetime. They will fructify. And gradually, this nonsense civilization will get transformed, at least for some time. Even though it's Kali Yuga, the age where everything deteriorates rapidly. Rapidly, everything goes down. Tatasya adudanam dharma, satyam socham samhadaya. Balina kalina raja, kalina balina raja, nangshatyasu balang smritihi. This is a list of things that decline daily in Kali Yuga. So even though that's happening, there's going to be this 10,000 year period where things just get really nice, at least for those who are fortunate enough to take to it. And this Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir that's going up, Adbhuta Mandir, that's going to be the center. Already we see Mayapur as a center. So many devotees from all over the world go there and chant Hare Krishna. But when that temple is finished, it's going to be such a beacon to everybody, just like people want to go see the pyramids in Giza. So you've seen them, so what? You can see a picture online and no different than being there in person, trust me. But you go to that Adbhuta Mandir, where 10,000 devotees at a time can have kirtan. Can you imagine? We have 30, 40 devotees in here and we think, wow, the roof is lifting. 10,000 devotees chanting together. Mangal Arati. Haribo. All right, so we'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, Mataji. Mother Shyam Priya.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Naribu.
Okay. So thank you for your class. What I could understand of it, because you need to speak a lot slower because a lot of things are garbled up. But what I could understand very clearly was, and what I want to ask you about is that in your class, you practically dismissed the need for farm communities. And this was Prabhupada's idea. And this is a long-term vision. It's not really a short-term vision. As you said, the cities are crumbling. Things are going astray. It's Kali Yuga. And so he wanted us to create farm communities because that is the future. There is no future in the cities, and we have to understand that. And although it may not be the main direction of us because we're into book distribution, it has to also go on simultaneously because that's the backup plan when everything else collapses. And that's the backup plan for what we do with the old people who we don't want to keep in our busy preaching centers. That's also where we're going to have our schools so we can educate the future generations who will take leadership in the movement and lead the world. So I wanted to point that out and make some that it's not, although we're definitely very much into book distribution in this temple, you cannot dismiss the importance of farm communities.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned farm communities. They're essential. Prabhupada said that. Everything starts with eating. If there's no eating, there's no Haribo. And when the oil oil economy collapses, the food is going to be very hard to get come by. So you better make plans to grow your own. That was Prabhupada's, you know, direction to us. Grow your own. He said, grow fresh, take fresh, you'll be very healthy. So, yeah, it's obvious. Well, obvious to us or those who follow Prabhupada. To those who don't, they think that they're going to be able to go to Vons or Ralph's forever, but it's going to stop. It's going to stop. It's going to collapse. And as just with everything else, just like you don't see a pandemic coming and all of a sudden it's upon us and we are all affected by it, similarly, they don't see or they marginally think about it, but it's going to happen. This little speck that's floating through space that we call Earth, it only has a finite amount, even though it seems infinite. Like, you can't even count how many grains of sand are in one beach, Venice Beach, which to speak of all the beaches in the world. So it seems infinite, the energy that's here. But specifically this oil that they're burning up like anything, it's not going to last forever. And Prabhupada was here, he said, another 50, 100 years max, it'll be gone. And then they'll be scrambling. Those who live in areas that get a lot of sunshine, all right, they'll have some solar or whatever, but it's not going to work for everybody. And you cannot maintain the level of powered activity that they have now in terms of airplanes and trains and trucks and buses, and it's going to fall apart. And specifically when it comes to the production of food, because the production of food ultimately depends on, as we know from Krishna's presentation in Bhagavad Gita, sacrifice. It's not just your planning, you know, it's not just your planning. It's just, you have to sacrifice, make a sacrifice, and then the rains will come and the seeds are given by God. Everything is dependent. We are dependent. So we are declaring our dependence on God by taking this Hare Krishna movement. And specifically, we're depending on God for eating. Because without eating, there's nothing. You can't do anything. How long can any of us last? A day or two, maybe a week maximum, just drinking water. And even that won't be so available because they're polluting it like anything. So yes, we have to take it seriously to set up farm communities. But my point is that our attempts in the past have failed because of the way we've tried to do it. We've taken personalities like myself who've been in cities their whole life and put on a farm somewhere. I moved in 92. I moved with the BTG office from San Diego to Alachua. Myself, Jayadvaita Swami, Yamaraj. I didn't last there 2 years, almost 2 years, but I couldn't take it. I'm a city person at heart to go out and, you know, interact with people in the cities, which Prabhupada wanted. It's not that we're doing it against Prabhupada. No. So it didn't work for me. After 2 years, I told Jayadvaita Maharaj, I got to go. I got to get out of here. But there are persons who are born in that situation. They're born in the Alachas of the world. They're born in, you know, the Minnesotas of the world. And their natural mode of nature is to be on a farm and to take care of animals, and that's their natural. So we preach to people like those and tell them, no, don't run to the cities. Stay on the farm. Keep raising the cows. Keep raising your corn. Just add Krishna consciousness. Don't slaughter the cow. You know, just don't add pesticides to your foodstuffs because you don't need to make millions of bushels of corn to make money. No, just grow what you need and trade in the local area. So we just need to change your mentality a little bit. But the know-how they have already. And the mode of nature, they're born in that mode of nature. So that was my point. Okay, Granthira Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.